Welcome to Create Photography. This is Daniel Sig. In today's episode, we will talk about stoicism. Before getting into today's episode, I want to thank all of you listeners for listening to this podcast and also all the supporters from Buy Me a Coffee to support this podcast financially. This means a lot to me and motivates me to keep going and producing more content. Today's show is a little different as we are diving into a philosophical topic, namely the philosophical topic of Stoicism. While it is philosophical in nature, the topic is actually very pragmatic in its messages. And hopefully there are quite a few things that we can learn from this philosophy that can be applied to life more broadly, but also the creative process and photography more specifically. Personally, I have studied and enjoyed this philosophy for quite a few years now, and I took quite a bit of time to prepare for today's episode, so I hope you will like it. So, what is Stoicism? So, Stoicism is a philosophy with foundations in the antique. Unlike the discipline of philosophy nowadays, which appears to be very academic, the Stoic philosophy and the antique in general was very practical and pragmatic. Philosophy and the antique did provide some guidelines on how one could live her life. Stoic philosophy subscribes to the notion that the world is organized in a rational and coherent way. Logos is the force that permeates, controls, and guides everything in our world. In some ways, it could be argued the term logos is also synonymous with nature, with fate, and with God. That said, the Stoic philosophy is not a religion whatsoever. While logos suggests a deterministic world with no room for free will or moral responsibility, the Stoics actually view free will as a voluntary adoption to what is already determined. Without getting too much into the philosophical weeds and the free will discussion here, this basically means that the Stoics believe that will is important, something we'll discuss some more later today. Stoicism originated in ancient Athens with Zeno of Citium in the early third century before Christ. Some of the more famous Stoic philosophers include Zeno of Citium, just mentioned, Chrysippus, Diogenes of Babylon, as well as the late Stoics Seneca, Epictetus, and Marcus Aurelius. While Chrysippus categorized Stoic philosophy into logic, natural sciences, and ethics, Marcus Aurelius focused neither on logic nor natural sciences, but on ethics, namely the role of people in this world. Marcus Aurelius' writings, known as Meditations, primarily answer metaphysical and ethical questions such as why are we here, how should we conduct our lives, how do we know that we do the right thing, etc. The later Stoic philosophy of Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius in particular is what I'm focusing on mostly in today's episode. I am following the disciplines of Stoic ethics broken into three categories, namely perception, action, and will. Throughout, I will try to draw parallels and potential applications to our creative processes and photography. So within the ethics metaphysical philosophy category, Marcus Aurelius focused on the three disciplines perception, action, and will. In brief, perception means to stay highly objective in our thinking and avoid anything tinted by emotions, opinions, judgments, and so forth. In a way, looking at the world in a dispassionate way and only perceiving what truly is or seems to be. Action is the second discipline and relates to the relationship of humans amongst themselves. The Stoics view humans as social animals, rightfully so. The third discipline is will. The discipline of action relates to what we can control. The discipline of will relates to how we respond to things that we cannot control. That's a big theme in Stoic philosophy, things that we can control and things that we cannot control, and really to distinguish between the two. Okay, so let's discuss the first discipline, perception. In brief, perception means to stay highly objective in our thinking and avoid anything tinted by emotions, opinions, judgments, etc. One of the fundamental principles is that we cannot control what happens to us, but how we perceive the events that happen to us and ultimately react to it, but we get to that later. So in a sense, there are no good or bad things or events, there are just things or events, and we decide how we perceive them. It is basically our decision. I quote Gregory Hayes here. He actually translated the Meditations by Marcus Aurelius more recently, and it's an excellent translation. And I start, quote, "Perception requires that we maintain absolute objectivity of thought, that we see things dispassionately for what they are," end quote. This also means that when not so ideal things happen, the Stoics suggest we control our emotions. The Greeks called that apatheia. This doesn't mean no emotions, it just means to control them, so to not panic and not to make any mistakes, etc. In his book, The Obstacle is the Way, Ryan Holiday talks about the Apollo crew and that one of the main things they have practiced was not to panic, to keep calm under pressure. And I'm talking about the first Apollo crew, so the first mission to the moon. This then also suggests that we should practice objectivity. If we are objective, we are not jumping to conclusions such as this happened and this is bad and so forth. The first part is objective, this happened. The second part is subjective, it is bad. This is particularly important for things we can't control. So controlling, in a sense, that subjective perception is key, also being aware of it. You may say, well, how does this all relate to photography? And we'll get to that soon. Epictetus, one of the antique's famous Stoic philosophers, also from the late period of Stoa, famously said the following: "In life, our first job is to divide and to distinguish things into two categories: external things I cannot control, and choices I make with regards to those external things I do control." So what is up to us is our emotions, judgments, creativity, decisions, attitudes, perceptions, and so forth. So let's try to apply some of those principles to our photographic journey, our photography, and our creative process. So let's just assume that you just have planned this fantastic trip to capture a series of beautiful landscape photographs, probably sunset and sunrises in a beautiful landscape. And when you get there, the weather just does not cooperate, and it's basically raining all of the time. And if it's not rainy, it's not cloudy. So there are no epic sunrises, there are no epic sunsets. So what can you do? First of all, is this in your control? Of course not. But what you can do is to control how you respond to this. So you could turn this into an opportunity, but let's just stick to perception for now, because we'll talk about action in a little bit. So if you perceive this weather to be just bad and the trip to be a disaster, you basically set yourself up for failure. But if you embrace the weather as is and practice objectivity, then you can objectively perceive the weather as it is, in this case, the weather, it's just rainy and it's cloudy and maybe it's 50 degrees Fahrenheit temperature, but, you know, it is just an objective statement of the weather. And I think what also helps in this situation is to be in the moment rather than contemplating what could have been. Just enjoy the moment, maybe even enjoy and embrace the rain and the opportunities that the rain actually may open up. Being in the moment often happens when you really focus on your work, when you're in the zone, so to say. When you focus on what you do, basically you focus on the task and activity at hand. In some ways, it precludes multitasking, which some people say is not possible anyway. But anyway, the point is to focus on what you do, capture that moment, be in that moment, and do not worry about what this trip could have been if such and such weather would have happened. So in our hypothetical example, if you do not judge how the weather influenced your trip, then you can try to not get angry or frustrated, not get your attitude all negative, not call the trip a failure, but instead you just go with the flow and you decide that this could actually represent an opportunity. You would then still be in, you know, living in the moment. You would actually enjoy those moments. And you might come up with ways on how to turn this trip and the resulting photographs or other creative output into something perhaps even greater than originally planned. So you turn this quote-unquote failure into something very successful. So we will get into how you could then act on this in the next section. So let's talk about the second discipline, namely action. Action is the second discipline. It relates to the relationship of humans amongst themselves. The Stoics view humans as social animals, as already mentioned. The discipline of action relates to what we can control. Action is another important aspect of potential practical implementations of Stoicism to our lives, including our creative endeavors. So how do we implement action? The first step is to simply start. Let's assume, and we talked about this in the past, we are in a so-called creative block. We perceive that we can just not create anymore, which is a prototypical perception issue where we believe something or somebody or some circumstance or whatever blocks us from creating. If we take action in that scenario and just start creating and doing something, we already overcame a major hurdle. By simply starting and doing something, we likely might not create the greatest piece of art of all time, but we might iterate and have something to work from and improve upon. Now, the next step, of course, after starting is to keep the momentum going, so to keep moving. To keep that momentum and to really just keep doing it. Again, if we take our simplistic example of the creative block, just going out there with our camera or paintbrush or whatever tool we use and do something on a regular basis will likely lead to results. The worst we could do in a perceived situation of a creative block is to stop doing anything, to basically just become completely motionless, so to say. It seems so simple, but taking action is actually very powerful. Not always easy, but powerful. Keeping the momentum means to stay persistent as well. Do something every day, maybe make it a habit. Do it even if the results might not be great or completely to our liking. We could iterate if we need to. And again, back to our example of the creative block, do bring our camera or the tool and keep photographing something. Let's look at our example of the photography trip again, where it was basically raining all the time. So the action here would be to start something maybe unplanned, maybe photograph puddles with rain, with reflections, with water movement, maybe do some long exposures with the rain droplets and the puddles or rain, you know, blurred out. You know, try things out and really kind of basically embrace that weather. And, you know, if it doesn't work, iterate and just keep the momentum going. And more likely than not, with that attitude, we might actually create something that could be pretty cool and perhaps even more unique than what we set out to do in the first place. Another interesting aspect of action is to try to follow the process. What does that mean? It means instead of focusing on some elusive end goal of our photography, whether it is to publish a book or to become a master street photographer or the most famous Instagram photographer or whatever, just to focus on the process, to focus on the journey, focus on the task at hand, and break it down even further. By following the process, we might actually focus on the journey and not on the destination. Yes, at some point the destination is important, but not while we are just starting the journey, or not even towards the end of the journey. This also means to, again, carpe diem, as that Latin saying goes, so capture the day and live in the moment. This is one of the things that is very easy to say, but actually quite hard to actually execute and do. We all fall into the trap of chasing some elusive goal in our photography. I certainly have, where we could just enjoy and focus the journey and frankly not worry about what others think or do. Successful tennis players, I would argue, don't focus on the adversary. They focus on themselves or the opponent. They stay focused on the task at hand, the next serve, the next volley, the next return, the next game. They may study their opponent, I agree, but then that's all part of the process as well, to ultimately apply this knowledge in the very moment of the next hit, the next serve, or the next return. Forgive the sports analogy, but similar concepts can be applied to our photography. Let's not worry about what others do. Let's just focus on our process and what we can control. Maybe the next step for us is to go out for a walk and we also bring our camera. Maybe we want to improve our black and white photography. Let's break this down even further. Maybe we then plan what time of the day we go out, perhaps a sunny midday, as we want to see harsh shadows and big contrasts. Maybe we use a black and white film simulation on our digital camera so we can immediately see our results. Maybe we have a theme or topic in mind. Maybe it is a start of a new project, and so forth. We can still pursue the project or even a bigger project eventually with an end goal in mind, but we have to follow the process and enjoy and immerse ourselves in the journey and not the end goal. Another advantage of following a process is that even huge projects become less overwhelming as we simply break them down into smaller, manageable tasks and do not worry all the time about the end product. Again, we focus on the journey and not the destination. An important part of following a process is also to have some order and very little distraction. Distraction and disorder are detrimental to following a process. A good example from photography is the workshop participant who brought 7 lenses and 3 camera bodies, and when tasked with taking a picture to capture a perhaps decisive moment, a candid moment, fumbles, maybe can't find the right lens, is distracted by disorder and unable to execute. The other workshop participant who brought a point-and-shoot camera has very little distractions, can focus on her surroundings and follow the process and perhaps capture that moment more easily. This brings me back to the topic and importance of simplicity, perhaps from a slightly different angle. Another thing that the Stoics suggest is that any job is important. Any job has to be done with hard work, with honesty, and it should help others as much as it should help ourselves. This means for our photography that there is no less important project. Every picture we take in some ways is important. We should do the best job we can, whether it is for a professional assignment, for a personal project, or just for a memory. This is also a reflection of respecting the craft. Steve Jobs cared about how the products looked, not only from the outside, and of course I'm talking about Apple products, but also the inside. Everything is beautifully and typically functionally designed from the inside of a MacBook, but also the packaging to the way the user interacts with the device. Steve Jobs respected the craft and wanted to create something beautiful. In my view, he succeeded with that, and his legacy continues that tradition. Also, following the process means to get things done, but not necessarily to strive for perfection. Perfection is, in my view, another distraction, some abstract concept that can derail creative endeavors in a heartbeat. Instead of striving for perfection, just strive for getting stuff done. Still do the best job you can do, but get it done. Get it done as well as you can, with focus, with dedication and love, but don't let the notion of it has to be perfect get in the way. If I would have pursued perfection with this podcast, which by no means it will ever be or is, I would have never started. The idea here is again progress, the journey, the road, the path, not the elusive end goal. Before we discuss the third discipline, will, one more thought. The Stoics Foundation states that we cannot control external events, actions, incidents, but we can control our own actions and how we respond to external events. Sometimes the obstacles are too great to be overcome, but those obstacles may also be an opportunity to just try. Let's go back to our example of the rained out photography landscape trip. One action would be to just give up, resign, not do anything, and drive back home in defeat. The other would be to embrace the rain and use this as an opportunity to do something different, maybe you create something even more interesting. And most importantly, to just try our best, even in the face of seemingly adverse or negative circumstances. So we are still discussing the second discipline of Stoicism, action. By the way, and I already mentioned that, but want to reiterate, this is following some of the writings of Marcus Aurelius, who was also a Roman emperor, not only a famous Stoic philosopher. Marcus Aurelius' writings survive to this day and are a very good and interesting read, in my opinion. I will recommend a few books and resources at the end of the podcast and also list those in the show notes. The third discipline that we'll discuss today is will. The discipline of action that we just discussed, the second one, relates to what we can control. So we are in control of our actions. The discipline of will relates to how we respond to things that we cannot control. While action can be defined as what we do when we still have some agency or control over a situation, will is what is dependent on when agency or control, or what we are dependent on, when agency or control has almost disappeared. This willpower doesn't necessarily mean how bad we want something or how strong-willed we are, but has more to do, paradoxically maybe, with surrender. It has more to do with God willing and less with will to win. It has more to do with humility, resilience, and flexibility, and much less with weakness due to ambitious and arrogant willing to win attitudes. This all may seem a little counterintuitive, as will is not typically associated with surrender. But in the context of Stoic philosophy, this definition actually makes a lot of sense. Again, if we take the example of the rained out trip, which I probably shouldn't even call rained out because it's already some sort of a judgment call and not a precise, accurate perception and description of what is, but it was just a trip where weather was happening, then an ambitious and perhaps arrogant willing to win attitude could lead to traveling elsewhere to find better weather conditions and get these great shots elsewhere. Whereas perhaps a more logical and more humble approach would be to accept the weather as is and to make the best of it, right here and right now. Of course, in the earlier examples, we discussed some ideas to make the best of it photographically, but it could also reach other dimensions, perhaps write or record a piece about our experience and how we overcame the perceived obstacles. By doing this, now we just turned this into perhaps something more interesting, and coincidentally, we are also helping others or maybe inspiring others, as this is not an uncommon situation for landscape photographers in particular. Okay, so let's get back to Will. Perception is the discipline about the mind. Action is the discipline about the body, and the will can be, in Stoic terms, viewed as the discipline of the heart and soul. It is the one thing, according to Stoic philosophy, we can control fully and always. Now, we already talked about free will a little bit, I don't want to get into free will debates here either. But in fact, perhaps a more helpful definition of the will is our ability to respond to challenging situations, events outside of our control, in the following way: to be prepared for more difficult times, to accept things we cannot change, to manage our expectations, to accept what happens to us, to remind ourselves of our own mortality, and to submit to a larger cause. There is a famous saying in Latin called memento mori. It basically means remember that we will die. This is sometimes accredited or attributed to the ancient Stoics, but regardless, it is a topic that Marcus Aurelius, the great Roman emperor that I already mentioned and famous Stoic philosopher, often talked about in his meditations, which are basically reflections. And I think he really wrote this book and this for himself. He didn't really intend this to be published. So it's actually very interesting that it became one of the most Stoic philosophy texts. Reflecting on one's own mortality is actually something we tend to do rarely, I would argue. While these reflections are actually a powerful exercise in strengthening our Stoic will and also putting things into perspective. For example, how important is that sunrise landscape photograph in the context of our own mortality? Now, you may say this is a little extreme, but the point here is that we have the capability and capacity to choose to respond to external things in different ways. If we submit to what happens that is outside of our control, doesn't mean we become fatalists or are just accepting our fate without doing anything about it, but it means perhaps a more healthy response that can, if we try to adjust our perceptions and act accordingly, turn such obstacles into opportunities that might even be greater. One of the metaphors that is being used in Stoic philosophy is to build the inner citadel. It basically means that when we are born, we are naturally weak and we do not have the strength to face and respond to difficult, challenging, trying events. So it means to build up some sort of an inner muscle, an inner strength. It is a mental practice to build and fortify this inner citadel. The Latin expression mens sana in corpore sano means a healthy spirit or mind in a healthy body, which suggests that physical strength is required to achieve spiritual or mental strength, while mental strength is required to achieve physical strength. And thus the mind has to be trained to achieve this mental strength, analogous to muscles are being trained during physical exercise. So the point of this is that this will that, again, this is the Stoic will, this discipline, has to be trained. It is just not something that just comes naturally to us. Now, the interesting thing is, and I'm bringing this back to photography in a little bit, is that we can actually use photography to practice mental strength. We can also use photography to practice perception and action according to Stoic philosophy, but also will. By focusing on truly seeing an environment and immersing ourselves in that environment, we are getting closer to living in the moment. This alone can probably have a calming effect on us and possibly quiet down the chatter of our minds and the worry about this or that or what somebody else might be thinking about our photography, for example. Now, what strategies could we use to practice mental strength? One strategy is that of anticipation. Now, the Stoics are not the ones to embrace positive thinking in a sense, so they actually promote the assumption that things may not go as well and to think negatively. Now, this may seem a little counterintuitive, but the interesting aspect about this is that it allows us to be prepared mentally if something doesn't turn out as well as planned. Let's again do a practical example. We're going on this photography trip of a lifetime. We arrive at the location, the weather is perfect, and on the way to the hotel, we get mugged and all our camera equipment gets stolen. Now, the point of the story is that we could have used the technique of anticipation and negative thinking in particular. We could have envisioned such a scenario or a similar scenario. Our mind might be trained to respond to this very unfortunate event calmly, and we might even have an idea on how we could react to it. Our perception of this event might be more neutral. It just happened. Yes, it's unfortunate. It's not great, but it's not the end of the world. And we might perhaps come up with a creative plan to make this work. Maybe we use our mobile phone and make it a challenge to take mobile phone photos of this magnificent location. Or we are able to buy a used camera somewhere or borrow one. Perhaps not what we anticipated to photograph with, but still an option. I think you get the point. This technique doesn't mean we are looking at the world in negative terms at all, but we are just preparing for worst-case scenarios. This is what pilots do, astronauts, and doctors. Pilots use flight simulators to recreate absolute worst-case scenarios and train and use them regularly. This is significantly enhancing flight safety, and pilots trained in that fashion will respond much more calmly, methodically, and logically to typically unanticipated events. In business circles, this anticipation strategy is sometimes called pre-mortem as opposed to post-mortem, but the Stoics actually already knew about this, and they called it the premeditatio malorum, so premeditating about the bad. Yes, if we use this strategy all the time, we may get called a pessimist, but this type of scenario planning equips us actually much better to appropriately respond to unexpected situations than always assuming that everything will just go well all the time. The point here is that the person who is anticipating such not so ideal scenarios will be much better prepared and equipped for such not so seemingly not great events. Taking it back to our original simple example of the rainy landscape photography trip, just anticipating this possible scenario and mentally being prepared for it will make the entire experience likely much more pleasant and could result, as mentioned earlier, in perhaps an even more interesting outcome than as opposed to everything went as planned. Another term that is attributed to the Stoics is amor fati. Love everything that happens. As you can now relate, this is very consistent with the Stoic philosophy of life. And again, this does not mean complacency, inaction, or passivity. It just means to accept things that we cannot control as what they are and then deal with how we respond to them, which is in our control. To clarify what we said earlier about anticipation, worst-case scenarios, which may seem pessimistic, the Stoics actually promote an attitude of feeling great about what happens, no matter what it is. To accept the cards that we were dealt with, not with negativity, but with cheerfulness. This again sounds very easy in theory and is very hard to implement practically. But it bodes actually well with the notion of positive thinking. This attitude also bodes well with other philosophies, including Buddhism and in particular Zen Buddhism. To go with the flow results in substantially less resistance than swimming upstream. And again, this does not mean like we're becoming yes-sayers and we just do everything as we're told. This is doesn't mean that at all. But it kind of means to accept where the flow is going, in which direction the flow is going. It will require a lot of practice and training of the stoic discipline of will. But it will be much easier eventually than to fight something that we cannot control anyway. So in summary, the triad of disciplines suggests that first, we should see clearly. So that's the perception. We should be very objective about our perception. And we shouldn't cloud that with, you know, emotion and judgments. Next, we should act correctly. So that's the whole action discipline. And finally, we should endure and accept the world as it is. So this concludes our little philosophical excursion into Stoicism. I hope you enjoyed that. There is actually a list of books and other resources that I'll link in the show notes that span some of the classic writings, including Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Letters of a Stoic by Seneca, Discourses by Epictetus, as well as other online resources to learn more about Stoicism. I'll also link to some more contemporary writings by Ryan Holiday, as well as Donald Robertson. And also the Wikipedia page about Stoicism is very helpful. All right, so that concludes today's episode. Thanks so much for listening and talk to you next time.